It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody tuned in, locked in, listening all over North America. I'm in Atlanta. Our producer's in New York City. So whether you happen to be in California or Portland or Miami or Maine, everything in between, what's up to our listeners in Canada? We appreciate you being here. The show gets started every weekday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific, on the free Odyssey app. You can listen on your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate. If you have SiriusXM, it's channel 375. If you have a smart speaker, you can ask the speaker to play the Infinity Sports Network. Man, we talked about Brian Robinson being moved from the Commanders to the 49ers. We discussed Adam Thielen, the possibility that he moves from the Carolina Panthers back to the Minnesota Vikings. We talked about the New York Giants and their quarterback room. They all love each other. It's so amazing. In a few minutes, I'm going to tell you about the Dallas Cowboys. Apparently, they all hate each other. How about that? Hey, in 20 minutes, Pete Fuatek is going to join us. Covers all things college football as we are staring at the start of a new college football season. So borrow a term. Oh, damn. Who's Bart? Yeah, Bart Scott. Can't wait. I had to think about who said it. Sorry, Bart. Anyway, 888-710-4ISN is the number. That's 888-710-4ISN. You can find me online everywhere at JR Sport Brief. So much to get into. A few things that took place this day in sports history later. We got Ben Standing joining us to talk about the Commanders. And here we are now. We were going from love to hate, because there is a thin line between the both of them. 888-710-4ISN is the number. You can find me online at JR Sport Brief. Man, all the New York Giants love each other. The Dallas Cowboys, well, there's a lot of hate. The biggest story with the Cowboys is only one story, Michael Parsons. Michael Parsons still doesn't have a contract. Jerry Jones is on a media tour right now, just kind of laying into both him and his agent about we had a deal and the agent came along and screwed up the deal. Jerry Jones is just being a jerk. And we've seen this play out before, but I can't remember him amongst all the years and contract negotiations really, really drilling into a player like this. And so tonight, at AT&T Stadium, about an hour from now, the Atlanta Falcons are going to play their final preseason game, as well as the Dallas Cowboys, down in Arlington, AT&T Stadium. Michael Parsons did show up. He was also kind of caught on camera, walking by a photographer, videographer, and somebody yelled at him as he was going into the locker room, "Hey, you know, hey, Falcons could use you." And then he made kind of a symbol of, "Hey, tell somebody to make a phone call." And so Michael Parsons has scrubbed his social media of all Dallas Cowboys anything. We know he's still under contract this year. He wants a new deal. The Dallas Cowboys can hit him with a franchise tag at least two more times if they should choose. And so he's not going anywhere unless they want to move him, or he just refuses to play, or he retires, or whatever have you. And Jerry Jones, I told you, he's been on this media tour. I mean, he's sitting down with everybody. He was on Michael Irvin's YouTube show. And we discussed this last night. He's just like, "Yeah, I had a deal with Micah." And the next thing you know, his agent butts in and he's like, "Hey, take this contract and shove it." And you go, "What? What are you talking about?" Take a listen.
When we wanted to send the details to the agent told us to stick it up our ass. Mike and I talked, and then we were going to send it over to the agent. And we had our agreements on term, amount, guarantees, everything. We were going to send it over to the agent. And the agent said, "Don't bother, because we've got all that to negotiate." And so the issue, very frankly, is we've had the negotiation in my mind. And the agent's trying to get his nose in it right now and try to come in there and improve off the mark that we'd already set. And we've got it done. And if the agent wants to finish up the detail, which is should, and do all the paperwork. And he can do that. And we're ready to go. But as far as the amount of money, the years, the guarantees, all of that, we negotiate that.
Wow. Wow. I mean, the guy's got an agent. Like, he has representation. Why are you beefing with him? Like, Jerry Jones, I get it. We all love the drama. He loves the drama. He's going to wait until the final minute to try to negotiate, get a deal done the first day of the regular season. Wild. Wild. Absolutely. Just, it's nuts. And then he continued on. Today, he was sitting down with Stephen A. Smith, and he continued to antagonize the agent, David Mulligetta, who, by the way, and I, why would he say such? Hey, take the contract and shove it up your ass. Jerry Jones was just being crass. The deal was rejected. And that was what Jerry Jones said. David Mulligetta said, and this was reported via Ryan Clark, that he didn't say such a thing. And why would he? You know, he's not some dude off the street. This is not Joe Schmo running around trying to negotiate a contract. He's one of the best agents in the entire NFL. Jerry Jones is just speaking out of turn. He's being a jerk. And then he's speaking to Stephen A. Smith, and he's like, you know, this is like a kid talking to mom and dad. And he's a screwed up dude. Listen here.
In the spirit of not doing the old mother-dad deal, how many times have you seen the little rascal so clever go in there and mama told him, uh-oh, you're not going to get it. And goes in to daddy, who only sees him after 5 p.m, wants to love him, and says, you can have it, son. You can have that before dinner. And he goes back in and says, mama, daddy said I could have it. That's the old mom, dad, been around since the beginning of time. I'm not going to go for that here. That's what's happening.
You're not going for it?
I'm not going for it. No. But we've had a very, very strong negotiation. Now, by the way, frankly, it wouldn't have made any difference what the negotiation was. Guess who has to be comfortable for this to work?
Micah.
And who else?
You.
Hello. There's not room for a third. There's not room for a third. This will be a good one.
But what type of contradiction is that? So nobody can have an agent? Like Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys, they speak directly to every single player? Or is it just because he's the star on the team? It's just because he's the best player on the team? Like this is played out at this point in time. No, we're here talking about it because it's news. It's noteworthy. But it's played out. And this is why the Dallas Cowboys suck. Okay, as a franchise, as an organization, you can make tons and tons of money in. You could have a $15 billion valuation, but Jerry Jones is why the Cowboys stink. And God bless them. I don't know. You got two goals. Are they parallel? Are they running at the same time? Do you want to win or do you want to make money? Like, we got a lot of owners in professional sports. They're just interested in making money, and God bless them. If you had enough money to purchase a professional sports franchise, the valuation of these things, they are going through the roof. You can make money or you can try to win. Not everybody making money is trying to win. Jerry Jones just comes across as delusional. And he doesn't come across as delusional. You know what? He is. He talked about Michael Parsons, and he's basically daring him. Bro, don't play fine. I think it's 8 games you have to play to, you know, accumulate what is for just a season. You got to play 8 games. And so if you don't play, the next thing you know, you don't accumulate time, your contract will roll over. And so if Micah decides that he just wants to sit out, he can't sit out the whole year. Otherwise, he's going to still owe them another one. And so Jerry Jones knows and understands this. He says, I got this man for at least 3 more years if I want to.
He knows full well what I'll pay. Mm-hmm. Knows full well, okay, what we'll pay him. So there's no question that that's going. I'm very comfortable with that. Now let's look at the paperwork. I have Micah for 3 more years. I've got him under contract this year. I can franchise him the next year, and I can franchise him the next year. I have him 3 more years.
Man, come on. If I'm Mike, I don't, and this is probably all going to work out. He's just making it painful. But this is not to say whenever that contract is signed, if they get it done, 3 or 4 years, $40+ million, they saying he's going to make him the highest paid guy in the league that's not a quarterback, which means he's going to make more than 40. For all of this, if I'm Mike, I don't want to be there either. I may just take the money so I can get the cash, and I may leave. I may go back to Pennsylvania. I don't know. Maybe he says I'm going to join the New York Giants. I have no idea. Who wants to deal with this? CeeDee Lamb on social media pretty much tweeted out the same thing like weeks ago. Who wants to deal with this? Can we just get things done instead of being a bleep show? Jerry Jones, he made it clear. Hey, if Micah doesn't want to be here, I ain't trading him either.
Well, let's put it like this. Surely you guys have been around this stuff and know that recognize negotiation talk, that type of thing. And so that's where I put that.
So are you considering it?
I'm not. The facts are that that's like anything else. I think the world of Micah, and that's just part of negotiation.
Would you ever consider trading Micah?
Again, I don't really place that with any real seriousness.
Man, what are we doing here? That was initially when he had his trade request, which hasn't been rescinded, by the way. Michael Parsons basically wrote an entire book online when he put out his trade request a bunch of Fridays ago. You're like, I don't want to be here anymore. I wish the focus for the Cowboys could just be on the football. But then would Jerry Jones have the most valuable franchise on earth? The answer is no. You know, there comes a point in time where I don't know if it's his age, but don't you go, man, we're the most valuable now. Here we are. Let's focus in just on the football. Does it have to be a 3-ring circus in addition to being a football team? This is a pain, man. It's in the news. We got to talk about it. But he's a pain in the backside. He's talking about taking contracts up people's backsides. Jerry Jones is a massive pain. Botcher, can we? Well, it's not nice to muzzle humans unless they ask for it and they're paying. Can we muzzle this guy?
I would say if he was not the owner and GM, we could probably find a way to silence Jerry Jones, but there's no way in the world he's going to give up the ability for him to get headlines. And it's never going to happen till he gives up power.
And at this stage of his life, his age, he's 82 years old. He's going to be 83 on October 13th. God bless him. There's nothing that's going to change. Like, this man will never change. He'll never just go, you know what, I need to just at least be quiet. Never. His health is going to do it for him, huh?
The health is probably going to be the reason why he'll calm down as he gets older. You don't want to see it that way. But if there was no restrictions, I think he's going to keep doing this till he's done.
Yeah, I think so, too. And I ultimately think that they'll get a deal done. I don't think Michael Parsons is being traded. Jerry Jones would feel like a loser if he had to do that. I think he would just end up paying a guy. I still believe Micah Parsons will get his deal done before Thursday night football when they start the season right after Labor Day in Philadelphia against the Eagles. I think they'll get a deal done. I remember Emmitt Smith sat out a game and they came to terms with an agreement after they lost that opener. I'm not saying that Mike is going to sit out. I don't think that'll be the case. I think he's going to sign his deal. Jerry Jones will have a conversation with his agent, David Mulligetta, on Thursday. Say, hey, just as a part of the negotiating process, here's the deal. Do you guys want it? They'll go back and forth for an hour, and they'll announce it Thursday morning. There's still a possibility he sits out or misses a game. I wouldn't be surprised if that were the case. But Michael Parsons is going to play for the Dallas Cowboys this year. And he's going to play under a new contract. whether he wants to be a Dallas Cowboy or whether once that deal is done, he leaves. But Jerry Jones, at this point, bro, it is nauseating. Please stop. I know he's not. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Yeah, we got to wait until after Labor Day for the NFL season to get started. But on the college football side, we are staring right in the face of week zero of the college football season. Yeah, we got college football staring us right in the face. Less than 24 hours away for some football as Iowa State gets underway against Kansas State. We're going to talk about the upcoming college football season on the other side. Joining us will be Pete Fuatek, right here with us on the Infinity Sports Network, the JR Sport Brief Show. Don't move.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Man, all this talk about the NFL, we got college football that is underway. I don't know if you want to call it week zero, week one, but the college football season gets started tomorrow. Yeah, noon. If you're on the West Coast, it's starting in the morning time. We got Iowa State and Kansas State getting us started overseas. Can't wait to talk about what we can expect, not just tomorrow and next week, but for the next several months. Joining us right now is someone who covers college football all year long, all over the place. Joining us, welcome back from collegefootballnews.com, Pete Fuatek. Pete, how are you, man?
You bring up the West Coast thing. I'm a huge fan of that. I'm in Central Time Zone, so I feel it's all right. I was just in the East Time Zone. It felt like the world was, you know, ending too fast. I love the idea of you wake up and you just watch sports and, you know, it just kind of happens all day while you're up and around. Doesn't end at one in the morning. I've always kind of dug that.
Hey, Pete, you can move. You can move out west. Go for it.
You'd think I could, and actually I can because I just dropped off second kid in college. Now it just depends if my wife wants to come with me or not, which, hey, win-win all the way around if I can do this right.
Yeah, something that you definitely have to check out. Well, we know this game is early tomorrow at noon because it's taking place Iowa State, Kansas State. They're going to be playing in Dublin, Ireland. I mean, last year we saw an interesting matchup last year with the Georgia Tech being out there. What are you looking forward to with this game tomorrow between these two schools? Nobody's expecting them to win any national championships, but they're going to be competitive.
Yeah, it's a cool spot. I mean, like, it's right in the middle of Dublin. It's right around all the food and all the pubs. It's really kind of sweet. But and you say that, it's what's kind of weird about this is, like, it doesn't seem to be a ton of buzz about it because it's a conference game, and I kind of object to that. Whereas last year, I mean, we had the same thing at Florida State and Georgia Tech, and it turned out to be a big deal. I don't know. Conference games need to be – I'm a huge believer that college football games should be on college campuses. And especially, like I just said, you know, I have kids in college now. It's a thing. You know, it's there for – the whole point of this thing is supposed to be there for the kids. And it's Dublin, but all right. But these two teams are each good enough to play for the Big 12 title. And they're relatively even, just what everyone else is in the Big 12.
In the Big 12, yeah.
And it can go absolutely, like, Kansas State wins, but it can go either way. And this is where you don't have a preseason like you do in the NFL. And I've always said that tomorrow should be the day when every FBS team plays an FCS team and just gets it out of the way. You get one game and just sort of, you know, get all the kinks worked out, you tune up a little bit, and then get going. But these guys hitting the ground running, and this one really matters.
And that game is less than 24 hours from now. But we got to wait for a marquee matchup. We got to wait at least another week when things really get started. We got Texas taking on Ohio State. Both teams, obviously, in the news. Arch Manning comments made by his granddad about whether or not he's going to stick around. Ohio State going with Julian Sain. Of course, people are going to go back and forth about what we can expect out of both of these guys really making their starts. What are your thoughts on both Texas and Ohio State for the upcoming year?
Yeah, I hate this. I mean, again, this is my point. Like, I wish they could get a game in first before you get this, because this matters. I mean, look, Texas still has to go to Georgia. You know, which means if you're going by recent history and how this is probably going to work, if Texas loses this game, let's say they have a misfire in the middle of the year against an Oklahoma, and then they lose at Georgia, they're 9-3, and they're probably out of the college football playoff. You know, so, like, if you're Ohio State, you can't really afford another two losses. So it really is, and you touched upon the big storyline going into the season, how do all these new quarterbacks pan out? Because, you know, Penn State's got their quarterback. Clemson's got their quarterback. But Alabama, Georgia, Michigan, Ohio State, Oregon, Notre Dame, I mean, these are, you know, power players who didn't go to the transfer portal. They didn't go after, you know, a Carson Beck or Nico Iloalava. They went with their in-house guys because apparently they think they're better. Now we get to see what they can do.
Pete Fuatek is joining us from collegefootballnews.com. You talk about Klubnik and then Drew Aller. What do you expect from both of these squads specifically? Penn State, we've seen what they do. Is Drew Aller going to continue to grow? And then Klubnik, I mean, he has all the confidence in the world based off of the love from Dabo.
Yeah, so this is not the Clemson team of a few years ago. It's good enough to win the ACC again. It's pretty much Miami and Clemson they're just as good. Those teams are dead even. Except Miami's got a little more high-end talent where I think they could actually do something more if they got in the college football playoff. This is not necessarily, at least at the moment, a college football playoff championship contender. Whereas, you know, they're going to play LSU, which actually is a CFP contender, but they can't seem to win an opening game lately. So this is the real test for LSU when it comes to a game like this. Penn State, if it was anybody else, this would be everyone's far and away number one team. And everyone kind of forgets, well, you know, 2 years ago, well, Michigan, they can't, you know, win the really big one. And, you know, they gagged in the college football playoff. Then what happened? You know, obviously there's all the periphery stuff, but it turned out, yeah, this was their year. Ohio State, well, they can't get over that hump under Ryan Day, even though he wins 85% of his games. And it just turned out to be their year. And the same stuff. Well, Penn State, they can't win the big one. Well, they won a lot of games under James Franklin. They got to the Final Four of this whole thing last year. And now they get just about everyone back, and they're deeper than everyone else. Drew Aller's been around long enough. They've got everything in place for this to be their year, except for the fact that they're Penn State. No one believes that they're going to win this thing.
Yeah. Well, Pete, you talk about the Big Ten. We saw the two teams that won the past two championships coming out of the Big Ten, the Ohio State and Michigan. Michigan getting punished earlier this week. What are your thoughts on the fine that was levied down and the lack of more of a punishment, really? Suspension some more?
Did they get punished? I mean, really? I mean, like, what? So Jim Harbaugh has to make a special application if he ever wants to coach in college over the next 10 years, which he's not going to do because he's going to stay in the pro ranks for pretty much for forever. So that's not a punishment. So Sharon Moore doesn't have to coach against a central directional state game or something. That's not a punishment. $25 million, that's just pocket change for Michigan. That's not a punishment. There's nothing you can do other than say, hey, you're banned from postseason play, which nobody likes the idea of that. Vacating wins does nothing. Oh, well, nobody cares. So, like, it's a part of the problem college. There's nothing you can do to have any sort of punishment. And the crazy part is, what are they really punishing for? Because none of the stuff that was it that Connor Stallions allegedly did or whatever you want to put it, is actually against, and it's not against any laws, and it's not really against any, you know, thing in the NCAA rule books. It's just kind of more like frowned upon. They're getting in trouble because they didn't necessarily comply with the NCAA's investigation, or they wrote a couple of emails, more than they're complaining, more than they're getting punished for them cheating on games, which, I don't know. At the end of the day, I think everyone's just mad that they didn't think of it first or do it better.
Pete Fuatek is here with us from collegefootballnews.com. Well, we know Harbaugh, he's not getting punished. He's in a completely different league, the big boys league. Pete, I do have to ask you this. We know Harbaugh is back in the NFL trying to get his charges to the postseason. You made mention of all of these teams and what we can expect moving forward. But what do you think is the ideal situation for the college football playoff? Because every time we blink, once a week, there's a new commissioner or coach who's given an idea and a thought as to what is the ideal space.
This isn't bad as is. I you have to have a mechanism where you can play your way in. So, you know, before, I mean, it was even worse way back before the BCS and the old bull days, where if number one team in the country was Texas and number two was Penn State, it didn't matter what anybody else did. Those two teams were going to play for the national championship no matter what, as long as they kept winning. That wasn't good. The four-team format wasn't good because you're going off a panel of judges for just four teams. Now, you could argue that, you know, that you pretty much got it right most of the time, but then you still had teams like Georgia and Alabama, which, look, if you didn't get in, you did something wrong. Now with 12 teams, that's just about right. It's good to have the games on the college campuses in the first round. You can you know right now that if you win your Power Four conference championship, you can get in. So Everyone has the same thing. And if you're a group of five program, look, you're just not as good as everyone else, but you still get a chance to at least maybe get your cuts in. So I think right now is the best way to do this. I don't like the idea of expanding it that much further because now you're just diluting the product that much more. And there's no real, you know, argument or reason to say that we have to get in four Big Ten or SEC teams because that's going to happen anyway if you expand this. So right now it's about as good as we can probably get to kind of satisfy everyone's issues across the board.
And we know everybody will never be pleased. You can never please all of the people. One thing that we do want to pay attention to are all the new talent. We discussed the QBs and the situations that they're in, some new faces, new names, and some older ones that we can expect. What are you looking forward to? What players are you really looking out for to kind of take the top off the college football season? We saw the Gentes of the world last year, the Cam Wards. We know Jeremiah Smith is back to torment everybody in the Big Ten. What players are you looking forward to seeing?
It's really these quarterbacks. I mean, there's not a Jante this year. There's certainly a lot of talented running backs, but they sort of fall by the wayside. They don't get as much love as the quarterbacks and everyone else does. But I am really looking forward to these new quarterbacks because, again, we don't know what they're getting. So, again, Alabama said, we have a guy here who's better than anyone we can get through the transfer portal. All right, let's see what you got going here. You know, all right, C.J. Card better be good for Notre Dame, because if Notre Dame had gotten Carson Beck, they'd probably be the number one team in the country right now. Beyond that, all the top players for the NFL draft next year, if not, you're not talking Arch Manning, are either offensive linemen, which, okay, it's kind of tough to get watching them. I still think, and I stated this last year too, the best actual football player last year and probably this year is Ohio State safety Caleb Downs. He's one of those guys, we've seen it before, it's the most undervalued position in football. I don't know why they don't get more love in the draft, because if you get a top-notch safety, if you get one of those Polamalu's or Ed Reed, I know I'm going a little older than normal, but if you get a superstar safety, that's the guy who can change around your defense. And this guy's just smarter, more talented, and better than everyone else. The quarterbacks are obviously the marquee guys, but Caleb Downs might just be the number one player in this whole league this year.
Hey, something to look forward to. I guess between him and on defense, Jeremiah Smith on offense, the Ohio State University, not too shabby. Hey, Pete, thank you for the time. And you're going to ask the wife about moving west, right?
I'm just going to go. Time of year, she doesn't even know. I basically don't leave my office anyway for the next 4 months. So even if I just left, I don't think she'd even notice. So I might just do that.
Okay. All right. Well, we got evidence here on the radio, which is not a good thing. Hey, Pete.
That's fine.
Tell everybody where they can follow you and all your work with collegefootballnews.com.
You got it. It's collegefootballnews.com, predicting every single game. This is that time of year, and now it's the game shows are over. Now it's fun.
Yeah, we get to the football tomorrow. Starting. Look at me. I picked up an accent just thinking about the game. Starting.
Yeah, there. There's no Irish accent.
Dublin, right? No, was that bad? Bad, right?
Yeah,
Dublin.
The easiest way to do it is farty. Anything farty 5 minutes from now. Then you got farty. Irish accent down.
Farty five. Yeah, okay.
Exactly. Right.
Well, that game is at noon. Okay, so there we go. Hey, Pete, thank you for the time. We'll catch you down the line, okay?
A good one.
No doubt about it. Shout-outs to Pete Fuatek joining us from collegefootballnews.com. Yeah, that game is taking place in Dublin, Ireland. We got Iowa State and Kansas State getting us all kicked off tomorrow at noon. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast-to-coast on the Infinity Sports Network. College football starting tomorrow. Hey, we got we got NFL preseason football tonight. We're going to talk about some of the games in the NFL, some of the games over the weekend. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. And right now, it's time for a news flash. Here he is, Gordon Damer.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. Hey, thank you so much to Pete Fuatek for joining us, giving us a preview of the college football season. You can catch all of Pete's writings and musings and predictions on collegefootballnews.com. I need you to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. And we know Iowa State and Kansas State are getting us all started tomorrow in Dublin, Ireland. But we got more football, like now, like tonight. Yeah, NFL preseason football is still going on. This is the final week. Here we are in week number 3. We got Philadelphia taking on the New York Jets. We know all the conversations about their miserable-ass offense. We discussed Atlanta getting ready to take on Dallas. They're going to get going in about 15 minutes. Same thing for Minnesota and Tennessee. And then we got Chicago and Kansas City. Like, that should be a fun one. We can expect to see the starters for both teams out there in their final dress rehearsal before they get started for the regular season. This will be fun. Unfortunately, we know about Andy Reid. Poor guy was sitting in his office last year, took a bullet through the window. I still can't believe that. But Andy Reid, speaking about football, he was asked how often, how much, how long are the starters going to be in the game? Come on, Andy Reid, give us some tips.
The idea yet on starters and how much they'll play?
Sorry, I'm going to just play by ear. They're going to start. Yeah, they'll start it off. We'll just see how it goes from there.
We just got to wait. I know how long they're going to play against the Chargers the whole damn game. But we got to wait for that one. Meanwhile, Ben Johnson, he's a first-time head coach, right? Coming over from the Detroit Lions, we've heard all these talks about what Caleb Williams has looked like, not good. You got Bajan over there. They just gave this guy a contract extension for the next 2 seasons to be a backup, maybe. Ben Johnson was asked how long his starters are going to play, and he didn't give a straight answer either.
What's the plan for how long they're going to play, less than they did?
To be determined still. We got to make it through today, and we'll make that determination. It sounds like KC is going to play their starters too, so should have some good competition there.
Wow. Nice. Botch, are you excited? Not really, probably, huh?
Not at all. I have probably zero interest in that game.
Damn. You don't want to see Caleb Williams go out there and stink and everybody get up in arms about it?
I really think it'll be one drive. If he scores, he scores. If he doesn't, he doesn't. I can't get anything out of one drive.
No, I got you. Well, you know, people have been killing him all preseason anyway. It's just like, he's an easy target. I think a lot of it is still tied to his time at USC. I think people's perception of him, a whiner, a crybaby, a nail polish thing. I don't know, man. It just, why don't people like him? Do you have any idea?
I think it's, he was very confident in USC at USC, and then he lost. And then, of course, the crying in the stands thing did not help at all.
Uh-huh.
He seems like he was one of those social media type of college quarterbacks where he was everywhere online, and that didn't translate well to a losing season in Chicago with all the hype.
Yeah. Then Jaden Daniels being awesome didn't necessarily make anything better. So Caleb Williams, he played last week when the Bengals went out there. Well, when they played the Bengals, I should say. The Bears won 27-3. Caleb Williams, he threw 13 passes, completed 6 of them, had a rushing touchdown. All right, this is nothing to just scream and cry home about. It's a preseason game. What the hell do you want from the guy? Ben Johnson, he talked about Caleb's game last week. Okay.
Yeah, I thought the communication was very clean. I thought he heard the plays well from me, and then he communicated it well in the huddle, and we really didn't have any issues in terms of getting lined up with plenty of time. You know, there's one time he flipped the protection, which was great to see. I thought he saw the field really well. I thought he played with some timing and anticipation. There's certainly some things that we can build upon there and keep getting better at.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's every and anybody. Especially now you're a second-year player with his second coach and a new system. You have to basically scrap everything that you learned last year to pick up on whatever the hell Ben Johnson wants, and we'll see. And speaking of a first year, Cam Ward getting a nationally televised game. How about this? In about 10 minutes from now, Minnesota is going to take on Tennessee. This is going to be on CBS. And so Cam Ward, he's going big time. His final NFL preseason start, we got to wait for the regular season to get going. And Minnesota is going to host the Tennessee Titans. So we're going to have a lot of people all over the country. If you didn't watch them down in Miami, they're going to be introduced to Cam Ward a little bit tonight. We talked about Minnesota, a lot of their challenges at the wide receiver position, potentially even bringing back Adam Thielen to maybe take up some space before Addison comes back from his suspension, other guys dealing with injuries. It's going to be fun to see what they do out there. And, hey, it's not just a veteran like Thielen, who's not there yet, by the way. Kevin O'Connell has to figure out who's going to make the team, who's going to be on the roster. We saw them move horrible Harry Phillips to the New York Jets. Kevin O'Connell says, yeah, this week is for the guys that I'm going to cut. They better show up.
Roster evals and roster cut down around the corner. You know, we still are in a world where we're building up, limiting installs and allowing for competitive situations. But this week's going to be critical for a lot of guys.
Yeah. We know what that looks like. Hey, bring your, I guess they don't even say your playbook anymore. Botch, what did they say? Bring your tablet?
I think they still give out rule books.
No, a tablet, right? No, what? Because they got
so expensive for tablets.
Bro, this is the NFL. You don't think every player gets a tablet?
I think if they make the roster, they get a tablet.
You think in training camp? Well, so the Cincinnati Bengals hand out construction paper and the Dallas Cowboys use tablets, huh?
I wouldn't be surprised. I personally think if you're on the bubble, they get like a pre-made like binder. Like you know, like old textbooks from school, you'd have to go through it.
Oh, man. You think the NFL is that cheap, like they just print up the playbook at Kinko's?
Would you trust every player that's on the training camp roster to have a tablet and to make sure it's okay and get back if they get cut?
Yeah, yeah, you got a reason to cut a guy, if not, and then you could charge him for it. Like, how the hell are you going to be on a team and you can't hold on and maintain a tablet? Like, where are you going with it between the facility and back to sleep? What are you doing with it?
Showing it off. Here's the playbook I have.
Nah, I don't think so. And then, you know, at the same time, the tech guy can wipe the tablet at any time, I'm sure remotely, if need be. From the minute that the guy gets cut, they probably automatically deactivate his tablet and go, hey, bring it back to the office so we can cut you in person. You know, nobody wants to get that phone call. And this is, I guess, one of the cool things that we learned about Hard Knocks. You got a guy sitting in his dorm on cut day. You got another guy at his house next to his wife. You got guys who are completely avoiding their phones because they're like, I don't need it to go off. The equipment manager goes, hey, coach needs to see you. Who wants to hear that? Nobody. Botcher, they got everybody gets a tablet. I would say every NFL team except for maybe the Bengals. Everybody's using a tablet. The whole entire NFL has a deal with Microsoft. Come on now.
Now, do we think tablets are beneficial to people learning?
What's the playbook? What's the difference between that and paper?
I feel like my attention to detail when I'm reading off of a physical book versus a tablet is completely different. I feel like if I'm reading off a tablet, it doesn't feel the same.
Okay. Well, I've never read a book off of a tablet before, so I can understand, but I can't relate. I've never read a book off of a tablet. I don't know. Read the newspaper. Like, that's different. I used to have to put the newspaper on a table, on the kitchen table, and flip it open. Now I could just scroll. I find it easier on my screen, you know?
A little bit easy to go through. It's personal choice. I feel like it's something that I have to memorize and study. Having a physical copy.
Okay.
That I can like note up and jot on is a lot better.
I'm sure the software is there. You can rewatch video from earlier in the day at practice and learn the plays. A whole lot more that you can do. You have to use a VCR and a VHS, a remote control, a television. All you need now is just a tablet. I'd venture to say every team is using tablets. You know, I'm gonna look this up in the commercial break. I'm sure, like I said, the Cincinnati Bengals might have their plays on construction paper with crayons because the Bengals are they're cheap. What else can we expect from them? Not a lot. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. 888-710-4ISN is the number. That's 888-710-4ISN. Hey, we got so much more to get into. Hey, in the upcoming hour, we'll have a chat with Ben Standig. We'll talk all things Washington Commanders as the Commanders have moved on from Brian Robinson, sending him to the San Francisco 49ers. Of course, at the end of the show, we'll talk about a few things that took place this day in sports history. We'll get into Malik Beasley. I don't want to say a free man. He was always free. No longer under investigation for helping to gamble or deal with some of these prop bets. So that's a good thing for him. And speaking of the NFL and how they utilize playbooks and what they have and don't have, the NFL is trying to eliminate the fun again. Or maybe the violence. Well, we'll talk about this. The NFL is a no-fun league. I'm going to tell you what they're trying to stop. It's the JR Sport Brief Show. Coast to coast here with you on the Infinity Sports Network.